Okay, our next presenter is Dave Goddard. He's the Portfolio Manager, Intelligent Machine Solutions with Leica Geosystems. In his presentation, A New Constellation for Mining, he's going to talk about integrating ground-based location positioning systems. How about a warm welcome for Dave?
Glad to see so many people are looking in anticipation of this presentation. Steve told me I was going to speak at 10:30. I didn't realize it was mountain time. So my name's Dave Goddard, and I'm going to talk to you about a GPS augmentation system that Leica has integrated in their GPS product portfolio for high-precision machines. Basically talk about what it is, how it integrates with GPS systems, what the problem is, and why you might want this technology, the components and features of the product, and also some performance results from a mine that was installed, Boddington Gold Mine over in Western Australia. Basically, the idea is that as you get deeper in the pit, then the satellites will not be able to go through the edges of the pit. And so you're really limited in your visibility to the sky. So the idea is that there's 24 GPS satellites up there, 24 Russian satellites up there, and they're all circling the planet. And you can see at any time, if you're standing on the surface of the planet, you can see anywhere from 7 to 12 satellites. Now, as you go down inside of a pit, some of those satellite signals are occluded by the high wall. The other problem that you have is that because the high wall constrains your field of visibility, GPS positioning is really a function of how strong the triangle is. It's basically triangulation. So if you have a satellite that's at 15 degrees over here and another one that's 15 degrees and 15 degrees and 15 degrees behind you, that gives you a very, very strong triangular position. And so you have a relative accuracy as a result of that. What happens in the bottom of a pit is that triangle, now the base of that triangle, or the pyramid, if you will, starts to get smaller. And as a result, then, the positioning is not as accurate, and you get positioning errors, so you have high dot. So there's been some other approaches to how to solve the problem other than the one I'm talking about today. Obviously, more satellite systems, GLONASS, is the Russian satellite system. Galileo is the one that the Europeans continue to try to put up in the air, but it's mostly a research and development project more than anything else. BeiDou is the Chinese constellation, and they're being very aggressive with launching satellites up, but primarily at this point the coverage is over Eastern Asia and China. Total stations are also another thing. You'll see that common in a construction site on motor graders, where you'll set up a robotic total station, a surveying instrument that has a laser range finder on it and some control systems. And basically it tracks a prism on the machine itself, and you can then send through a radio signal what the position of the machine is through survey triangulation. The problem is that total station can't be shared amongst different machines there, and so you only can position one machine at a time. The other problem is that when dust and snow and things like that get in the way, because it's sight-based and laser-based, your distance degrades, and at some point you might not be able to see that prism. Inertial measurement units are another way to do this. However, inertial systems, while they've come down in price a lot in the last several years, they're still relatively expensive for something that keeps its accuracy at centimeter level for a long period of time. So they also tend to be sensitive to vibration, which is a real problem on high-precision drilling products. You get what's called a Brownian motion, a random walk from the vibration trying to be integrated into the position solution. And the other thing is augmentation systems, such as what I'm going to talk about. So who is Locata? Locata is a company that is out of Canberra, Australia. It's a company that designed a system of ground-based radio waves that mimic the signals of a GPS constellation in order to provide positioning where GPS might not be available. They've got a partnership with Leica that we have to deliver exclusively. We have an exclusive right to deliver the products that receive their signal in mining. And that they have also had a sole source contract with the U.S. Air Force. Now, as you can imagine, the U.S. Air Force are the ones that actually run the GPS satellites. So why would they want an augmentation system? They have control over it, right? Well, unless the enemy is jamming it. So they want to have the ability to provide positioning to their battalions, even in the case of a enemy attack that is jamming the GPS systems. So they have a sole source contract for that. It's kind of neat. They test it out in Yuma. So another movie, how does it work? It's magic. So basically the idea, I'll step you through it, is that you have some, they're called locator lights, and they sit, you mount them in positions around the pit, and they receive GPS signals and self-survey themselves. And then there's a master locator light that then starts to transmit a signal based upon its location. And basically if you know exactly the time that the signal left that transmitter and exactly the time that you received it, then time is distance, right? And so you basically the system syncs itself in time, and then therefore when a shovel receives it, it knows where the position is of the source of that signal, and it can use that in triangulation, including satellites or other locatellites as well. So the components here are basically a GLONASS and GPS antenna for the self-survey. There's the tower, then there's a master GPS locatellite, and then these are the receivers that are on board your high-precision machines. So there'll be a dual and a locatellite module. Another description of it. Two different transmit antennas helps to mitigate multipath effects as well, and solar array on a trailer. So when you design a network, what are the requirements? Well, signals are still line of sight. GPS signals are line of sight, and this actually broadcasts in the 802.11 Wi-Fi band in the 2.4 gigahertz space, and they're very line of sight as well. So obviously you want to be on the pit edge. And basically what you do to design a network is you identify those places in your mind where GPS is compromised. And those are pretty easy. They generally tend to be up against the high walls where your shovels and your drills are working. And so you determine where the locations are that are most critical, and then you deploy a LocataNet network. A simple round or oval pit is very simple. You just toss up five or six locatellites around the edge. If you have a more complicated pit, such as Wyoming coal mine, that's going to be a little bit more challenging in order to find appropriate locations that you can add additional signals for positioning. If you have multiple pits, and this was the case in Boddington, then you need to have a consideration of how the master signal is transmit and conveyed between the two pits. And so you kind of have to have a line of sight. So it requires a little bit of planning. So in terms of the product features, it transmits four different signals out of those two antennas. It's in the 2.4 gigahertz band. It does not require an additional base station, so you don't require an additional base station just like you would require a reference station for GPS. You don't require one. The master and the locatellites actually self-survey themselves and self-sync themselves, so you don't have to worry about that. You do not need additional corrections. So with high-precision GPS, you have to send differential corrections or RTK messages across from the base station to the rover units so that they can subtract out the different signals and give you an accurate position. You don't require that with a GPS. You can support multiple networks. They're mobile, self-surveying, and they support all of the available satellite signals as well. I guess the last point is probably pretty important. As you know, Jigsaw is a fleet management system. That's part of Leica's product portfolio. However, this product has been developed, while we will use it on our high-precision equipment, the product has been developed and an API and an interface has been written such that this can be used by any customer with anybody's high-precision equipment. So if you have a modular system, you have a Wenco Benchmaster system, you have a Caterpillar CAS, something like that, the signals are available and that can be purchased independent of the application. Technical specifications, Ethernet or RS-232, it just allows you to integrate with those other systems. External diagnostic support, and somewhere here there'll be a picture. It's actually a web-based UI for configuring the receiver. So in terms of how it positions and what the requirements are, right now it requires what they call a poker hand, a full house. So you need 3 GPS and 2 localites, or 4 of a kind, which would be 4 GPS and 2 localites. So basically any combination of those would provide you a position. So you need 4, right? And that's just around the triangulation. If you think about it, what we're trying to do, if you think time is time and range, right? You have a transmitter, and if you know what the distance is you are from that transmitter, then you know you're on a sphere, right? You're somewhere in that 3D space on a sphere. If you can receive 2 signals, then you're at the intersection of 2 spheres. Quick, go back to physics class. Anybody tell me what the intersection of 2 spheres is? It was a rough night last night, wasn't it? It's a circle, exactly. Intersection of 3 spheres? 2 points. So you need 4 spheres in order to determine a single point. So that's the reason for the 4 signals. So here's a picture of it. It's got a couple little LEDs for idiot troubleshooting, power ignition, Ethernet comms, does have RTK corrections for the GPS if you want it, and an optional cell phone interface as well if you're at a remote site and need connectivity of a different type. Here's the UI for the configuration. Fairly straightforward. Just connect over the Ethernet port and configure it. There was a white paper published in conjunction with Mine Expo last year. Where they talked about what the positioning system was, how it was developed, and what the results they saw was in Western Australia at Boddington Gold. This is a picture of Boddington Gold. They have 15 localites distributed around the network. There we go. This south pit area right here is fairly extreme. The rock there is very, very competent. The drill and blast guy once told me, he said, if we could drill down all the way, we could stand this up at 90 degrees. But the current wall angle in that corner is approaching 60 degrees. So it's fairly extreme. So you can imagine if you're in a corner looking up 60 degrees, you're occluding almost half the sky. So you're not going to get any decent triangulation, and you're not going to get sufficient satellites to position. So the localites are scattered around, and they provide that additional signal. 11 drills, blast hole drills, 5 exploration drills, 3 shovels, electric cable shovels, and 3 hydraulic shovels are fitted. So all their high precision equipment in the pit. And there's more coming. They're planning on putting it on their dozer fleet as well. So let's talk about what it actually does. So this is 2 months of drill data gathered 2 times a second in that north pit. The north pit didn't have quite as many obstructions. It's in the southern hemisphere. So the results in the north pit are actually, that with GPS, are actually better than what you would see in the south pit. And this is the results that you have. Basically, all these red dots are when a position was unavailable with a GPS-only solution. And over here, using the augmentation system, those are all the positions that were available all the time. So there's only a handful of red ones there that are probably mostly due to machine vibration or multipath or something like that, that for that particular time they weren't able to get a position. But the basic message here is that the increase was over 6% of availability. 6.5% improvement in drill positioning, which is basically 4.7 days of additional guidance available on these systems over the course of the 2 month trial. So what does this mean in terms of cost savings? Now this is kind of a wag because if your drill does not have a GPS position, typically you're not going to idle the drill. However, what you do have happen is you have guys go out with tape measures or pace it off. In northwestern Australia, I had a guy teach me the three-clap method between drill holes. Does anybody know the three-clap method? I'm going to put it right here. Now, there's some downstream effects to that, though, right? So your fragmentation goes all to hell because you don't have a consistent blast pattern, right? That means your diggability goes to hell. And that means that you have problems at the crusher potentially. And you have other issues that are downstream, tire cuts and things like that, that if you get good blasting up front, then you have good fragmentation and everything follows from there. So, but in terms of potential cost savings, let's say that you did idle your drills. $1,000 an hour of OPEX cost, an increase of 6.5%. There's the additional hours, so the potential savings are there. And this, again, doesn't include all of the downstream effects that you might have from increased machine wear, from better fragmentation, et cetera. So here's another set of results. This is only 2 days, limited obstructions. And this, I believe, was in the south pit. And you can see this, the positioning availability went up considerably. Now you think about this. If your driller or your shovel operator only has an accurate position 3/4 of the time, they tend to stop using the system. So you have just spent $100,000 on a high precision system and for grade control or ore control application, and your operator is not going to use it because it only works 3/4 of the time. Here's a 1 hour data set. So you have positioning availability. How accurate is it? Is really what this slide is showing. And basically, this is a centimeter grid over 1 hour, positioning it once per second. This is the distribution of the pattern over a known fixed point. So not only are you getting availability, you're getting more positions, but the positions are accurate. It's not just a guess. And in fact, the positioning accuracy, because basically you're widening that triangle. I'll go back to this. You're widening that triangle because you have lower elevation satellites, basically, from those locatellites. You're actually increasing your accuracy over what you would get from just a satellite position alone. differences in height. Again, that's one of the things that GPS doesn't do very well, because the satellites are 10,000 kilometers above our heads. The triangles, even though we think about them, they could be wide, it's still, the baseline is very, very, very small. And so a typical rule of thumb is that if you have a high-precision GPS receiver that gives you about a centimeter accuracy in the horizontal, your vertical accuracy will be 2.5 times worse than that. So 2.5 centimeters in the vertical. So that's pretty common. Drill position availability data. This is some more. This was another data set captured 81% availability without the Locata system, without GPS, and 98% availability with it. So in summary, by using GPS, there's significant improvement in your positioning availability on your high precision applications. The GPS system allows open pit mines to continue to use those high precision RTK applications, even at times that positioning would otherwise be unavailable from just satellite. Higher positional availability should correspond to higher productivity and better downstream effects as well. The Locatalites are, because they're self-surveying, they can be easily deployed, and they can provide high precision coverage anywhere and with anybody's equipment. It's an open NMEA stream, which is a standard output format for GPS receivers. So it easily integrates into those third-party applications. And it has tremendous potential to improve positioning availability. I mean, let's face it, mines are going deeper. Governmental entities aren't real excited in issuing new permits, and so we're keep going back to the same ore bodies and just keep getting deeper with more laybacks. And as you do that, your positioning availability is going to suffer, and this provides a way to overcome that. I think that's it. Any questions? Oh yeah, Bake, you have to harass me. Go ahead.
What's the difference between that and the Novarian, the old Novarian system?
Good question, because in 2007, as you recall, I stood on this very stage and told you about the Novarian systems, right? Keep going back to the well. The Novarian system transmits at 10 gigahertz rather than 2.4. So in some places in the world, it is a licensed frequency. The Novarian system is limited in its architecture to 6 transmitters, whereas the Locatalite, the way they're architected, don't have that limitation. So that can be challenging to do multi-pit installations with a Novarian system. Novarian was recently purchased by Trimble a year and a half ago or so. But I mean, both systems will provide additional accuracy. We just think that this one's a little better. Any other questions?
So there are certain parts of the world that are dark, right? I mean, like in Australia, there's a portion of Australia that you can't get a signal, and like in Africa too as well, right?
No.
Okay.
No, the GPS coverage is pretty consistent globally. There's actually 30 American satellites up and 30 Russians. They only have 24 active of each one. Where there is some problems is down in South America. They have something called scintillation, which is a function of the hole in the ozone layer, where they get electrical interference that interferes with the signal itself. And in those cases, they can not have any position, just as a function of the satellites not being seen. And so in that case, this would be an excellent product for them. Anything else?
Geometry being very important before. So how do you calculate where you put your Locatalites for geometry, for your best geometry as the machines move across the bench?
Yeah, honestly, you try to spread them out. You decide how many signals you need in a particular place, and then you try to do a rough, even distribution. every 30 or 40 degrees or so in a circle around it, because the idea is to get that geometry good. It in essence is highly dependent on the pit itself, right? Because you're going to have access roads in some places and not in others, and so there's physical constraints in where you can do it, and so that's why each design ends up being slightly different. The nice thing is that as your equipment moves around with this system here, you can drag those Localite trailers around the pit and optimize your coverage at any time and make those changes on the fly.
So how long do they take to set up?
As long as it takes to get a Baki to haul the haul the trailer over. It's really a self-surveying unit. It takes about 5 minutes to boot after you move it into position and hook it up to power.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks a lot.